It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sheer effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down at 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35, 30, 25, 20. Peterson, the one man to beat at the 5. He is in! That smile, Cam.
Waits for the snap into place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. It is football season once again, Auburn football to be exact. Doug Holton with you, and we are excited for another season of Tiger Talk and Tiger Talk Overtime here on FM Talk 106.5. Glad you're with us. And we'll get into some more of the conversations from last hour. I'm sure you heard Coach Freeze talk about football practice this week and the Baylor game a little bit. We'll touch on Baylor a little bit this evening, but really a special show of guests lined up this evening for you here on Tiger Talk Overtime. And we're going to talk about the topic that everybody is talking about, and that is the national championships that Auburn has included in the past week, with Athletic Director Cohen mentioning the four additions to Auburn's national championships. And that brings the total to 9 now for the Auburn Tigers. A lot of conversation about that this week. And we're going to talk about that this evening with Brett Eddins, who is a member of the 2004 team that is now a national champion, very deserving. And we'll get his comments on the season as well. Kevin Fichtner will join us with Brett in just a minute. Later on, we're going to talk to Brian Brensfield, who is a member of the 1993 team that is now included officially in the national championship teams for the Auburn Tigers. Also, Coach Fred Riley with Brian later on in the show on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report. And Stu Donald also with us later in the show to talk about the Auburn Tigers practice so far and wherever we go in that conversation. But this week, concerning the national championships and exclusively, perhaps, the 2004 team, Coach Tommy Tuberville, Senator Tommy Tuberville, had some comments about his team, the 2004 team, being included in Auburn's national titles.
I want to congratulate the 2004 Auburn Tigers football team on being recognized as the true national champions of college football of 2004. There is no doubt that the 2004 Auburn team was the best team in the country for the entire season. We went undefeated and had four wins over top 10 teams. Not only were our players great athletes, but they were great young men.
Okay, welcome back. And one of the guys that was involved in that 2004 season, joining us now on the line, Brett Edens, who is now a member of the national championship team and also going to be a member of the Auburn Network team this year. Brett, it is great to have you on with us this evening.
Doug, thank you for having me.
Also with us, Kevin Fichtner, Mr. Auburn, as we call him. Kevin, how's it going up there on the plains?
It's been a minute, man. We haven't talked since probably post-Final Four or, basketball season, but I'm happy to be back and ready for football season and whatever else comes this fall for Auburn sports.
I know you're looking forward to football and basketball, being the Hoops fan that you are. But, Brett, let's talk a little bit about what has happened this week with the national championships. Everybody seems to be talking about that. What's your take on it? We heard Coach Tuberville talk about it. Was it the right thing to do? How does it make you feel? Will it help Auburn now in the future in recruiting, or what's your take on it?
I think it's one of those things that's just good for a university to do. If any kind of claim you've got on something great like that, you should make it public. You should publicize it and really, back your teams and just say, we agree with, somebody that validated, the greatness of all those different teams. So I think it's a great thing that the university finally backed it. A lot of those teams are very well known to have been, national champion, undefeated, different things like that. And so I'm glad that the university has finally stepped up and had the back of it. So I think a lot of guys really appreciate Director Cohen and the university as a whole just coming out and going public with it.
Yeah, I don't remember the early 1900 teams there, but I'm I'm sure the 2004, the 1993, the 1983 teams are certainly deserving of being included there, and I'm sure the others as well. But tell us a little bit. I know we've talked to Jason several times on the show, but your memories of that season and what it was like. And Coach Tuberville mentioned you beat several top 10 teams on the way to getting all the way to the end of that year.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had five or six wins against teams that maybe had 10 wins that year. So it was kind of a much tougher schedule than I think we realized going into it. Coming out of the 03 season, we had started off in disappointing fashion in 03, but I think the seniors in 03 deserve a lot of credit for what happened in 04. Just because they showed a really high level of work ethic and drive and leadership. And so going into 04, I think we've realized, how we finished 03, we could carry that through to the next year if we did things the right way. And so we had a good group of senior leaders, guys that had been there 4 or 5 years. And Coach Tuberville and the coordinators really kind of leaned on a lot of the seniors, kind of said, hey, this could be good, but we need y'all to step up. And we had some young guys that came in and played really well in some key spots there. So as the season rolled on, we just kind of kept feeling like we're getting better and playing good teams and rising to the occasion. And it was probably the LSU game and then the Tennessee game and the Georgia game where you realize, like, wow, we really might be able to do this. And it just kind of kept going. But it was a special year and just a great group of guys. And I'm blessed to even be part of it.
Yeah. I think I was watching or reading that you were pretty close to DeMarco McNeil. Is that right?
DeMarco he played interior and I was on the outside, but spent a lot of time with DeMarco. One of the most deceptive athletes you'd see out there. If you saw him walking around and hanging out, you wouldn't think much, but once he started moving, he was one of the best to ever do it. And one of the funniest, but also one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to be around on a daily basis.
Yeah. A guy that I covered in high school and at Auburn. And I was just thinking, how much have you visited with those guys that were on the team since the announcement, and what's been the reaction, or what have you guys been talking about?
Yeah, for 21 years, we've kind of said we were national champions anyway, so I don't know if it's changed a lot for most of us, but a lot of the guys have reached out and said that they really do appreciate the fact that the university is publicizing it now and backing it and claiming it. A lot of schools have done this in the past, different eras. I think most of them were done before social media and the internet were such a big thing, so that it can literally just go worldwide in one day. But I think we're all glad that the university is taking the stand that they have. And so I don't think it changes our lives much, but it's certainly something that we do appreciate.
Yeah. And Kevin, I know you and I were talking a little bit before the show about your role in 2004. You were shooting the Auburn Review show at that time, and I'm sure you have some great memories of that team.
Yeah, that is correct. I was with Channel 12 in Montgomery at that time, and Phil Snow was still there being sports director, and we covered all the games. We were there in the locker rooms after the games. We were there for home and away, and Brett Sack and that LSU game, and all the way to the Sugar Bowl when we beat Virginia Tech. I mean, that was a heck of a year to be covering Auburn, especially based off the previous years where we haven't done, didn't live up to the potential. But that 04 season, man, that was great. And to be part of that with working at Channel 12 and being able to hang with some of these guys in the locker room was great. It was an awesome time to be an Auburn fan, to be with the athletic department, be with, in the TV business, covering Auburn sports. Usually you're covering Bama and all these things, but it was Auburn's time in that year.
Back with more with Kevin and Brett Edens, our special guest tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Visiting with former Tiger Brett Edens and Kevin Fichtner here on the show tonight. And Brett, we were talking a little bit earlier about your new role with the Auburn Network also this season. Very interested in that. And tell us a little bit about how that came about, what you'll be doing with the Auburn Network this season, and how excited are you about doing some broadcasting for Auburn?
Very excited, also a little nervous about it. I don't want to bring down the professionalism or the high standards that they have there. But, Will Herring held this role in the past, and Will has been very successful in his businesses. So he's growing those, his family's growing. And so this football season, he asked if he could kind of take a little time away. And so me being local there in Auburn, I guess I kind of got the call to come in and try to fill his shoes for a little bit. So Ronnie Brown and I will be splitting games as the sideline reporter, with Andy and Jason Campbell being in the booth. So It'll be a fun year. Very excited about it. I think it's going to be a really fun season. So I'm excited about it. Like I said, a little nervous. I haven't never done this before, but it's a great group over there, getting to meet everybody in the Auburn Sports Network. It's a great group. Really fun to kind of talk to them and get to know them. And they're doing a lot to coach me up right before the first games.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a great perspective, having the background that you've had. But have you ever thought about that before, doing broadcasting? Has that ever entered your mind before you guys started talking?
I think every fan has thought about broadcasting. I think the good thing about it is it doesn't – we don't have to do it play by play. I think most of us would get FCC violations as fans for what we think or say. So it's something I think everybody has kind of thought about at some point. Nothing ever thought I'd actually get to do. So I'm excited about it. And looking forward to hopefully getting to see some fun wins from a very interesting perspective.
Yeah. I know you get some tips from this guy over here, Kevin Fichtner, who's been in, how long have you been in the media now, Kevin?
I guess in even my days back in campus here, when I was here from 95, 99, I did Eagle Eye Sports, and I was covering Auburn sports back then. And so, I'd say 95 is when I started. So you're looking at, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Sometimes the math isn't as good as you want it to be. It's like, oh, that's flown by, but you haven't changed much is the good thing about it.
But,
any tips or hints y'all can give me, I would definitely appreciate it.
Just speak down to your audience. Make it in layman's terms. Make it easy for the folks listening on the radio. Use, small words. That'll help.
I know
not everybody is as educated as the others. So, yeah.
You got most of your tips in Mobile, right, Kevin?
That's right. That's where I grew up. Yep. And I worked at, back in the day, I interned with Doug and the guys at Channel 5 in Mobile. So I've.
Oh, awesome.
Well, let's talk a little bit, Brett, about this ball club this year. It's an interesting team. It looks like we've taken a little bit of step up in talent again with recruiting and the portal. A lot of talk about the offense and the quarterbacks, as there usually is, but I want to get your perspective on this defense. And Coach Durkin, I think, has done a pretty nice job bringing these guys along last year And I know expectations are high this year, but what about those guys that kind of cement the defense this year? I think of the edge guys like Keldrick and his running mates there. Some of the young guys could step up as well, but what do you think of the defense, and can they lead the way early on, or do they need to lead the way early on?
I think most teams, you kind of want a defense to lead the way, especially early on in the season. You're going to want to stop the other team from scoring and give your offense a chance to kind of really get their feet. Keldrick Faulk being the leader of this defense, I think, is great. He's played hard and developed every year, so if he can take just even a baby step forward this year, it'll be a special season for him. I think having Kieron Crawford on the other side from him is going to put offenses in some tough spots to really figure out who they're going to focus on blocking-wise. I think Kieron Crawford could have a big year. If we can get one or two guys to really pop up the middle on the defensive line, I think it'll be a really tough group to deal with. The linebackers are incredibly athletic, which is fun to watch. And then you've got a defensive backfield with three returning starters that have really all played at a very high level. The big thing about this team, I think, and you mentioned the recruiting and the portal, one thing Hugh Freeze has done is, like you said, raise the talent level. And so what you've got to practice is very much an iron sharpening iron situation, which is what you have to really develop a program and get to the level that you want to get. So these guys are, you know, from all accounts, going at it very hard at practice on the D-line, the linebackers and running backs, and then the wide receivers and DBs are really, really putting a show on every day at practice going against each other. So you hope that would show up on the field when you play people maybe as good or not quite as good as the guys you're going against at practice.
Yeah, I was thinking of the cornerbacks there. Coach Freeze mentioned them this week. I think, like, we have some guys that have played, obviously, at the SEC level in the past year or two, but he really sees some of these new names coming on, I think, at corner that can help us this season.
Yeah, I think you've got Jay Crawford and Kian Lee are out there, and they played for a couple of years now. They've been really good. And then you've got Rayon Strader and some other guys that are going to come in at that corner spot and play. And the safeties, you've got a mixed bag of guys, but they're all very talented and have played a good bit. So I think you're going to have a really solid defensive backfield with bodies that can roll. I don't think you're going to see much of a drop-off when the twos come in. That's huge because of the kind of talent you're going to play in the SEC week in and week out.
Have you spent much time with Coach Freeze since you've taken on the role with the Auburn Network?
I have not. I've talked to him in passing at some Auburn Football Letterman Club events, but really have not had a lot of time to spend with him. I think that they've really been in camp since we've kind of decided on this and since I got the opportunity. So I think they've been pretty nose to the grindstone since I've been named, but I do think we're going to meet with him in the next week or two, just kind of introduce each other. Since I'm going to talk to him at halftime at games as they go in, I think it's probably best to know if
you haven't played the golf with him at the AU club like everybody else in Ward Mill.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to play golf with me. I'm a little bit slow and spend more time in the woods than on the fairway.
But I was just thinking, Brett, he is after the past couple of years. He had some good years at Ole Miss, obviously, and then at Liberty, which wasn't on the same level. But he has to be itching just to get this Auburn program back to where he thinks it can be and where everybody thinks it can be. And I know he's disappointed in what has happened the past couple of years and probably looking forward to, as he said, getting in the mix, getting in the conversation, at least for that 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I think if you look at last season, there was, three, maybe four games that really just we had three or four bad plays in those games that really cost us those games. So you would hope that this year with more experience, a big thing I see in this year is the continuity. Second year in the same systems, offense and defense. That's the first time Auburn's had that in maybe 10 years to have both coordinators back 2 years in a row. So I think the guys are going to look a little faster. I don't think the clock is going to be faster per se, but I think they're going to be reacting quicker and being just more natural out there running around. And so I think that can make a huge difference in how those games turn around, how the outcome looks. And then you also look at the kicking game kind of being solidified again. You get a field goal here or there rather than, 0 points or a turnover. That's huge in the grand scheme of how a game turns out. So I think he's definitely looking forward to the opportunity to kind of write the record on what it's looked like so far.
Yeah. Kevin, what are you picking up so far at practice? What are you looking at? And I know you got a question for this guy too.
Well, I come at it from a fan perspective, and all my buddies are texting me because I don't get to go to the practices anymore. But we talk about it, and, you know, yes, we talked about defense a minute ago, but all we keep hearing is we have the best wide receiver room in the country, but do we have an O-line that can block for them? Do we have a quarterback that can get it to them? Do we have three quarterbacks that can get it to them from what we're hearing on Twitter and everything? I'm just excited to see what happens. You know, I'm glad that we get a good little road test next week. You know, LSU is going to Clemson. Bama's going to Florida State. We're going to Baylor. This is good for college football, and it's good for Auburn. It's not a highly, you know, big time school, but it's a road game against a, you know, a good school. I mean, a powerhouse school, you know, in the past. And, you know, they're going blackout. They're going gold helmets. They're doing a drone light show. So they're going to, this is, we're their, you know, Super Bowl possibly for this year. And I'm interested to see how we do. I want to see what this offense can do. Like I said, we talked defense a minute ago, and I know defense helps, but this day and age, the college football is built for offense. Can we get the ball to our receivers? You know, who's going to be our running back? Are we going by committee? I'm interested to see, as a fan perspective, how are we going to put up points compared to last year where we were unable to put up points at times. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing this year. Next Friday, it's going to be exciting.
Brett, what do you think about the offense? The one thing, of course, everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. And the thing that stuck in my head a week or two ago, Coach Freeze said something about Jackson being greedy in practice, maybe going for a little too much. And it immediately made me think of last year when he was at Oklahoma, and I started Googling, and why did he get benched exactly? And I think it was a Tennessee game. He threw like three interceptions that game, and that was kind of the end. But that's something that he has to put a handle on this year and really kind of guide the offense and go for some things with the receivers that we have, but you can't turn the ball over at the same time.
You've got to control the ball. And I think Coach Freeze would probably rather him be greedy at practice than in the first game. So yeah. It's kind of figuring out exactly where can you be greedy and when and how. And so I'm glad he's doing that. I think that's what practice is for, is to figure out how far you can push something. And I think, you know, last year at Oklahoma was hopefully a very different situation than what we're going to have this year. Hopefully we'll have, you know, I think they said five or six offensive line on a draftable grade. So the offensive line should be pretty good. You've got a very talented wide receiver group that's got big guys, small guys, fast guys, jumpers. You've got a little bit of everything out there. And Jackson Arnold's a great athlete too. So if he needs to tuck in and run, he's got those capabilities. The running backs are talented. You know, two of them have pretty solid SEC experience. Another guy came in from UConn with a lot of playing experience. So, and I think, all right, you've got to score points. One of the biggest things that can help a defense is the offense scoring points, because that shrinks the other team's playbook. Yeah. So if we can get a few touchdowns early or get points early, that's really going to help this already talented defense look even better. Yeah. And like I said, I think a lot is being made of a few comments that were said here or there. I think it's going to be a fun year offensively for Auburn.
Yeah. I saw Eric Singleton play when he was at Georgia Tech. And I looked him up, and I said, and it said Darvin Adams was related to him. And I texted one of the coaches, and it's hard for me to believe that he's at Auburn now, but I really think he's going to make a huge difference, even with the receivers we already have. But he's going to be a step up and an extra guy that Jackson can hit this year. I just think he's going to be an impact player for Auburn. What do you think?
I think you get an athlete like that, and you watch what he did at Georgia Tech last year. I watched the Georgia Tech Georgia game from last year, and just all the different things he can do with speed sweeps and screens and deep balls. There's really, he's not the tallest guy, but there's really nothing he can't do on the offensive side of the ball. And so it really puts a lot on the defense on who do you match up with him? How do you cover him? And then you've got Cam Coleman on the other side, and then, you know, three or four other guys that we can throw at you. So, yeah, I think Eric Singleton come in was a big piece to add from an experience perspective, but also just his abilities to do so many different things. It really opens up your playbook and kind of keeps defenses honest for those other guys out there.
Yeah, and it seems like running backs will be maybe by committee this year, but we hear inklings from Coach Freeze and others in the preseason that maybe Cobb is a guy that they hope or expect to come out this year and have a, a great year at the running back position?
Yeah, I think Jeremiah Cobb and Damari Austin can do everything you want, but they have different skill sets where they really pop out for you. So I think you're going to see both of them used in a lot of the same ways, where I think the coaches will also try to find specific ways to use them within the scheme for different games. But yeah, both of those guys, super talented. Jeremiah Cobb being a Montgomery guy, I followed him since he was a Catholic in Montgomery. Excited to have him out there, and really think you could see a breakout year for him and Damari Austin.
The thoughts of Brett Edens, a member of the 2004 now national championship team. Appreciate Brett being with us tonight, and also Kevin Fichtner as always. And we'll be back with the Horizon Financial Halftime Report in just a minute. Visit with Brian Princefield and Coach Fred Riley. Stay with us right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by our friends at Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. All right, let's crank it up now and talk some Auburn football with a couple of guys who know a lot about championships. First of all, former Tiger Brian Princefield is with us from Tennessee. Brian, great to have you with us. And with all the news this week, you are officially a national champion in the Auburn program this year, I guess.
Yeah, War Eagle. It's I'm going to send Mr. Cohen my ring size tomorrow via email and in address, and we'll see if that happens, if that comes in the mail.
Yep. Also with us, former grad assistant for the 1982 team, of course, Coach Pat Dye. Coach Fred Riley is with us, and Coach, great to have you back. And you won a championship yourself at North Alabama, and you were involved with a lot of those guys in the 82 season that have now won a national championship in the 83 season.
Correct. Yeah. I've told that story before. I mean, I would have stayed at Auburn, and I would be a national champion right now if Jack Crow hadn't have told me to get my butt to Jacksonville State and learn how to coach. Yeah. And which he did, which I did. And but yeah, you it would have been, again, I would have gotten just as far as Brian probably in terms of sending in my ring size, but still, it would have been nice.
Well, Brian, tell me a little bit about the 1993 season and how Auburn handled that this week with the announcement. Would you have made an announcement, or would you have just quietly put it in the media guide? It seems like it's kind of going around on social media and national media this week about Auburn, and people are commenting about, Auburn needed some more national championships, so they got some more now.
Yeah, I was looking it up, and I found I was sending an article to a friend of mine, David Fulford, and who's out in Hawaii dealing with a loss, and I hate for that for his family. But it was in the New York, the article I sent was in the New York Times, and I thought, God, this has gotten big time. But I don't know. It's listen, we've put up with it in the state of Alabama for a long time of some of these titles that have gone back into the teens, and I'm not talking about the 20 teens. I'm talking about the 19 teens of Alabama claiming some of their titles. And so why not? As far as some of these teams, and I know we just claimed the 14 or 17, something like that team. But some of these teams, like the 93 team, like the 2004 team, I saw Tommy Tuberville has said something on the online now, but some of these teams were pretty dang good and deserve the 83 team that coached most of those players. They're a kick away from being national champions. They probably were national champions, and we're, my class, my team, zero players from that, and I've said this 100 times. Nobody on that team was on the team when Eric Ramsey was there. We were all in high school.
Yeah.
So you penalized me That's fine, but penalize Auburn, that's fine, but don't penalize me and take away from what me and my teammates did on the field in 2004. Great team, probably, one of the best in Auburn history. And so, yeah, put it out there. Let's say it.
Yeah, makes you feel good, right?
Sure does.
Yeah. And coach, one of the other topics this week that has come out is Auburn is going to celebrate Bo Jackson. I know we've talked a lot about Bo Jackson before with your book, Bo Don't Know Me. If people haven't read it yet, they need to get a copy and read it. But they're going to celebrate Bo Jackson's 40th anniversary this year of his Heisman Trophy, 1985. That'll be at the Iron Bowl this season in 2025. So, how about that 83 team? And how about Bo Jackson 40 years ago? That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is. I mean, and I think we also, I think we should shout out the 1910 team, who was 198-0 in points scored versus points against. And we I don't think we can forget those guys.
You might say that was a soft schedule, right?
Or a good defense.
I think it was just in 8 games. So anyhow, again, I always go back to when we talk about Bo Jackson, Coach Dye telling everybody in the staff room in 1982 when they were yapping about him going the wrong way against Georgia in a 2-minute drill, and him telling them, just y'all don't worry about Bo. I'll coach Bo from now on. He's going to win the you know what Heisman Trophy one day, and I'll take credit for it, basically. And he was right. I mean, just probably would have been the greatest running back ever in the NFL if it hadn't been for injuries,
Yeah.
and or one of the great baseball
That's
players
right.
of all time if he had just decided whichever one he wanted to play. And Wayne Gretzky would say we're certainly glad he didn't try to play hockey, but he probably could have figured that out too. I mean, if it came right down to it, just phenomenal.
Yep.
But do you think that, because I really do, and I'm being 100% honest when I say this, I really think he could have been a double Hall of Famer.
I think that's fair. I mean, he was just, I mean, he probably could have been in the Olympics
Yeah,
as a
a
sprinter
decathlete.
if that's something, if he'd wanted to be a track and field guy and remain an amateur and been an Olympic athlete back in those days. I mean, whatever he wanted to do, he just had an unbelievable, his genetics were just unreal. And I mean, and he could just do things that very few people, even since then, have been able to do.
Yeah, I remember those days when I was in school when Bo ran track and they had the meet against Georgia and whoever else, and it was Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker at the old track. That was quite 100 meters there.
Can you
But
imagine?
and that reminds me of the other topic a little bit that came up this week, and that's the retiring of Cam Newton's jersey. There's been a lot of speculation about would somebody else wear number two. Well, now they won't because they're going to retire it before the Georgia game. So, Brian, give me your thoughts on, since we're talking about Bo Jackson and Cam Newton, greatest player in Auburn football history?
Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson, no
Yeah.
doubt.
No, there's not a doubt. I was roommates with Pat Sullivan Jr. and Coach Sullivan was our quarterback coach my true freshman year, and I got to know the Sullivan family very well. He I didn't and I don't remember him playing, obviously, but and then I got to see Cam. Obviously, what he did, but I don't think there's ever been a better player. Tucker Fredrickson, Terry Beasley. There's Frank Sanders. There's been a ton of great Auburn football players, but Bo Jackson. If we're talking about Bo Jackson being one of the greatest athletes to ever play any sport, then he's got to be probably the best Auburn football player ever.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of chances to watch Bo. Obviously, saw him come in as a freshman and saw him all the way through. And I think everybody's a Bo Jackson fan. But I've said since 2010 that I think that one season that Cam played was the greatest college football season I've ever seen anybody play. Coach, what do you think about the comparison of those two guys?
Well, the only thing I think was lacking in Bo Jackson's resume was a national champion, and now he's that. Yeah. I mean, what else does a guy need to do? You know, Cam Newton, you know, I mean, Bo played in a time in which, you know, Auburn was a wishbone team for much of it. You know, they transitioned to be a sort of pseudo wishbone in the I formation his senior year. But you know, there were tremendous support personnel around Bo also. They were great football players in that window of time. They were just so good. Where Cam Newton sort of put the offense, especially, on his back and said, I'm going to win. I'm going to beat LSU. I'm going to beat Arkansas. I'm going to beat Alabama. And at a time that maybe the people around him weren't as great, he did some things from the quarterback position that at that time, you know, we had never seen.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. Coach Freeze kind of got everybody up in arms this week when he was asked about could all the quarterbacks play against Baylor, and he said yes, which really has the talk going in the by the Auburn fans this week. But Brian, what do you think? Does that how does that play into the confidence factor for Jackson Arnold going into game one?
Number one, I don't think he'll do it unless we're up, and I don't see it being. I don't think we're up late. I think it's going to be a close ball game going into the fourth quarter. That's just what I. That's how the feeling I get. You know, those first ball games, coach knows this. You're going to have your offside penalties. You're going to have lining up formation penalties, and I'm talking about the offensive side of the ball. Defense is a little different, little more, little easier early in the season, but offensively you're gonna struggle. You may turn the ball over, if he's gonna test some guys, I don't think on the road on a Friday night, there's two games out there. It's Colorado and us, and I just don't think that's the game to test somebody. We have to have a win against Baylor, because you lose against Baylor, and then you know you've got Ball State and South right after them, but then you've got who? Oklahoma and Arkansas,
Texas A&M,
and then yeah. Georgia.
Yeah,
you can't afford to lose the Baylor game, no. And Jackson Arnold is our best shot at doing that. So, you know, maybe it's caused some controversy, but if I'm the coach, I am putting every ounce of big energy in my quarterback that I can and pumping him up to the nth degree. And I don't know if he did it or not, but
yeah. And I would say, I've said this a couple times already. I don't know if I've ever said this, probably not, but I think the Baylor game is a must win for Auburn.
It's got to win.
They have to win this ball game, or who knows what could happen. But coach, you've coached a lot of quarterbacks. You played a lot of quarterback. What do you think of how they're handling Jackson going into the first game against Baylor? And how much would you turn him loose early in the season? Obviously, he has the ability to run a little bit. Do you let him do that? Do you hold him back and keep him in the pocket, which Coach Freeze has kind of said in the preseason that that's his strength?
You know, the only thing I've seen about him is talking about Jackson was him getting a little greedy in the RPO game and not, you know, and not handing the ball off, which, you know, you give a quarterback a chance whether to hand the ball off or throw it. That guy's going to throw it if you don't have some built-in, you know, hand the ball off right here no matter what. You got to give him some of those too and take that kind of pressure off of him. I think he's going to be the quarterback. I think he'll play the whole game. I think the talk about all those other guys is just something to throw out there to get everybody to talk about while they go back to practice. And, you know, there's not enough time in the week, even in the summer, to get
reps.
You can't take reps away from this guy. I mean, you've gone out and sold the farm with this guy as your quarterback. You can't be stealing reps from him. He's got to be getting it and getting it and getting it. You got to have a backup that's going to get 30% of the reps in practice and go out and be able to manage the game. A third guy's out of the question. You know, and so I think that was just something to say. That the product, to me, the more interesting thing than that, because is the play calling of first down, second down, third down, that kind of stuff that is, you know, we've had this conversation every year that he's been there about, you know, he's known as a play caller, just like Gus was known as a play caller. And that's what got him to where he is, you know, and to suggest that we've delegated play calling to a first down play caller and a second down play caller and a third down play caller. I mean, I don't know how much actually really happening either. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, somebody's calling the plays. He has veto power over it. He'll be a guy that'll snatch play calling away from Ezra in the middle of a drive if he wants to. And has played it. Art, there's a rhythm feel to it. You're calling plays to get ahead, you know, to put something out there, to set something up for label. If you've got multiple guys calling plays, how are you doing that?
Right.
You're not. You're just running plays.
Right.
And that's just not the way to run a system.
Well, Coach Freeze definitely under the gun this year. We'll see how he does. The thoughts of Coach Fred Riley, glad he was with us tonight, and also national champion now, Brian Brinsfield. We'll be back with a final word with Stu Donald in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, and we want to welcome into the show for the first time this season. Of course, the first time this season, because it's our first show this season, but Stu Donald is with us, and Stu, great to have you. Of course, the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu show, also here on the radio, and great to see you, and I know you're excited for a new football season.
Oh, absolutely, and glad to be back on with you again this year for some Auburn Tiger fun.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of things in the news in the past week or so, and of course, the biggest item, I guess, is the Auburn Tigers picking up a handful of new national championships, I think four to be exact, but what do you think? What's your impression of that? Is that overdoing it? I've heard, obviously, both sides of the equation on the radio this week.
I think it's long overdue that we did something like this. It's not like this is novel. I mean, we all know that Alabama in 1983, their press guide listed seven national championships. Then in 1984, it listed 11 national championships.
Right.
This isn't new. Penn State lists claims a bunch from when they were an independent and never played anyone every year. I mean, people forget more than half of Joe Paterno's wins were against teams that barely had a pulse. Before they joined the Big Ten, they played no one.
Yeah.
It would be 10 games a year against cupcakes.
Yeah.
Michigan has, I mean, if Michigan can claim the 2023 national championship, then any school can claim any national championship they want.
Yeah. And it really doesn't. It really doesn't matter. I mean, I guess it matters. They're saying in recruiting, it matters with some kids seeing the flags up there. But what Auburn fans, I think, want to see is what's in the future. You know, what are we going to do from this point forward? So I'm excited to see the Baylor game. I think it's going to be fun to watch on a Friday night. And you know, we're watching the line kind of go back and forth a little bit. Baylor was favored now. Auburn is favored by a couple of points, but I think it's going to be really entertaining. And I think Auburn is one of the more, I want to say, unpredictable teams of the 25 season, because I mean, I really don't know what to expect on next Friday night. I don't know what to expect really from Baylor or Auburn. And I'm hoping that we get, you know, some improvement this year. I'm sure you are too.
Yeah. Well, PFF or someone does a luck index of just calls that could go either way that go against you, balls that bounce funny, stuff like that. And Auburn was the unluckiest school in college football last year. Auburn fans know that's true. But so it just seems like that coin should flip and maybe all the breaks go our way this year.
Yeah.
If that happens, you know, we could be staring at a playoff berth, because on paper, this game against Baylor should not be close. I mean, Dave Aranda has not proven anything as a head coach. Their defensive backs last year were absolutely terrible. Now, they may be improved this year, but are they improved enough to handle two of the top five wide receivers in the country on the field at the same time?
Yeah, and I think
that would be incredible.
Maybe more than that in the receiver category for all this year, with the addition of, you know, Singleton and Horatio and that kind of thing. Yeah. But so that's going to be interesting to see. So I guess, so just listening to your comments, you're putting a lot of money on Auburn next Friday night.
Oh, no, I'm too broke to put money on them. But it's like they say, if the game goes according to chalk, you know, our talent versus their talent, our coaching versus their coaching, this game should be a blowout. But we also should have blown out Vanderbilt last year and Arkansas and Cal.
Yeah.
And years before that, New Mexico.
Should have been Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We blew Oklahoma off the field.
Yeah.
That was not a competitive game. We just handed them, you know, 13 points in the fourth quarter that they didn't earn.
Right.
And they gave them the victory.
Right.
And Missouri's the same way. We were way better than them. We blew them off the field statistically.
And the thoughts of the great Stu Donald. Hopefully we'll be better statistically and in the close games in 2025, and Auburn can pull off some of these wins and get in the discussion for the Final 12. That is our show for tonight. Thanks for joining us on Tiger Talk Overtime and Tiger Talk. Hopefully 6 to 8 on Thursday nights make us a part of your college football plans. And if you'd like a place to follow the Tigers during the week, join us on WarEagleTV.com. Follow us on our X page and our YouTube channel. They're right there on the front page of the website. Once again, WarEagleTV.com. We'll be back next week to talk about Baylor a little more extensively and get you ready for the ball game on Friday night. Until then, Doug Holton, so long, everybody, and War Eagle.